Well, we're getting close to the rapture, folks. So let's really pay attention. While I was over there, the pastor said something, and I really just wanted to stop everybody and ask, how many of you really spent 15 minutes this week in prayer? Real prayer. You spent hours on the phone. Spend hours on the internet. Very insignificant time in prayer. Our Savior should be first. First. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I came in yesterday and it was raining in Arkansas, and somebody, I forgot who it was, said every time Brother Poe comes up here it rains, and it was raining so hard I was driving about 10 miles an hour praying there wasn't nobody ahead of me, and I had to get some tires on my truck. I'm warming tires out coming up here. I was hydroplaning. Man, I don't like all that mess. I don't like hydroplaning. I just don't. There's something about it. It's just like, this ain't good. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going to end up. But I thought about it. So I got something. It's very simple. Living for God is. The act of living for God is extremely simple. It's so simple that it's almost can be overlooked. I mean, there's just things when you live in accordance to the holy mandates. First of all, you got to try to understand that there's things that are not of him and things that are for him. That's just the way it is. And very simple, your own brain tells you a lot of that. You don't even have to have the Holy Ghost. You start to try to do LSD, and unless you're a dummy like I used to be, your brain will say, I don't think you should do that. And then you have the choice of overriding your brain. Living for God is not hard. Holiness is not hard. Ask the Muslims. I went into the hotel yesterday, and there was a lady there that her dress was nearly to the floor. Had a little hat on. I don't know, that might be a Mennonite or something like that. My wife knows all them people. She likes to study those people. But I've looked at her, and I thought, she didn't look ashamed at all. She just was looking at me, smiling, holding a big old boy. It should have been walking. He was big. It's like, man, that dude can walk. And people go, well, I, you know, all that long and this is that. You can't do this. Well, remember, I'm not going to preach on this. I just want to tell all y'all something. I can do anything I want to do. I can drink a beer. I don't know if I can drink as many as I used to, but I can do that right now. Anybody, you know, I don't know what the drinking age up here is, 18, 21, I don't know. We can go smoke cigarettes. We can do any. People go, well, y'all can't. Where'd y'all get that? There's a difference between we can't and we won't. A lot of difference between we can't and we don't. I just don't do it. I just don't do it. Let me tell you a few things, and then we'll quickly move on. The reason I don't do it is I've seen this week, been a tough week, man. I'm not a pastor. I've said that. Everybody knows that, and I still keep saying it, you know. And I'm dealing with a 16-year-old kid that was a genius, for real. One of those advanced people, 16. He was adopted into a family with money as a baby. He's in that gifted stuff. I've been gifted, but I don't know if it was intelligence. And handsome little boy, always was. I helped raise him. And this week he decided to drop two pills of acid, 450 milligrams apiece. He's gone from being gifted to the little class in the back of the school where all the troublemakers are. What's the difference? His choices are, I'm going to be like everybody else, that they want me to be this way, and I fit in. And now he's running down the street screaming, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. And his mother's at the end of the road, don't know what to do. And I keep thinking about all you guys and you young ladies that are tempted. And I'm telling y'all right now, this little kid, if he makes it, he's only 16. Where'd he get acid? At school. That's the kind of world we're living in. Now, y'all go ahead and try it, but I'm going to tell you right now, when you drop that purple microdot stuff, you don't know if fentanyl's in it or not, probably some, but you don't know how much, and you can die the first try. So if y'all want to do that, guess what? You can. I decided to quit. I just made up my mind, I ain't going to do it. I don't care if anybody likes it or not. I like it. I ain't going to do it. Amen. So it's just a lesson for all you young people that people say, let's go try this. What? Why? What for? It's like I told the doctor. He said, here, I'm going to put you on this. Try this. I said, y'all don't have mice? It's already tried this out. What happened to the mice? Did they die? I don't want it. You know, amen. Boy, we have, and this is going to be, y'all know, I don't have to say anymore. I'm just a different kind of evangelist. I don't have to take a text. Y'all know the, man, we've taken some territory. We've ticked the devil off, man. Spirits, we've ticked spirits off. Man, y'all was doing real comfortable. Everything was, you know, you had a little problem. But now the issue is we've taken some territory, and the spirits that were over those territories have been humiliated. Been humiliated. It's a war. Everybody say war. Now I'm going to put this in perspective. Ukraine don't have enough defense, and so Russia can do anything they want to. I know all you young people, this is way, you know, but trust me on this one. Russia can do anything they want to because Ukraine don't have enough military might to even keep their own land. So the bully comes in, Putin. He's an ex-intelligence officer. If you study him, he's wants the old communist regime back whole, which would mean Poland, Czechoslovakia. I won't name them all. But anyway, he wants it all back together. He thinks that's his mandate as a human. And so Ukraine doesn't have, I'm going to preach here in a minute, we've got to get this, because we're hearing all of this, and we've heard so much that now it's starting to just be, oh, my, here's Ukraine, Russia in the news again. And what they're doing is that Putin now is attacking the cities. Now, watch this. This is so stupid to me. But I'm there again, you know, I'm not an official. But war has rules now. It's like, okay, you can't attack this and you can't attack that, but this is open, you can attack. So we have war rules. Now, to me, in the old days, World War II and all them, it was just, if you're over there and you're against us, we're going to come over there and we're going to kill y'all. And anything that's moving is dead. Crickets, grasshoppers, and everything else. Now it's like, well, we can attack infrastructure. We can attack this. And so Putin has escalated to where he's attacking everything. Because why? Because it puts fear in the people. Not in Zelensky. That's the president over there. But in the people. Now the people are, if they hear, they think it's a drone. It could just be some bees moving. But they're going to run. And so the people are living in fear. And Putin knows, if I can get the people to live in fear of what might be coming, that is as good as if I do it. Because if I can get the people living in fear of what they think might happen, then it doesn't even have to happen. They're already messed up and defeated. Right here in this church, we have seen the enemy come in, spirits, and start attacking people. Why? Because we're trying to move as a unit and take over territories, and we did. Now, just a quick rundown. I don't know if y'all notice how good I'm walking. Do y'all remember the night that I stopped right there and went, oh, and y'all had to, I forgot who it was, even had to help me back to the office. I couldn't walk. I had a brace on my knee then, and Dr. Samuel had to have surgery, and I couldn't get up and down the steps, and I certainly couldn't walk out here. Everything was up there. And I knew right then. My wife said, see, my wife's been around this a while, and she said, oh, my, what have you stirred up? That's her exact words. What have you stirred up there? And I said, well, I had one pastor tell me, he said, there's one thing about it. We definitely know when you come, things get turned upside down. And I said, and that's the reason some of them don't want to invite me. They just like, same old, same old. But notice how good I'm walking. Pretty good, huh, for old 72-year-old dude. On a tractor this week. Amen. On a zero turn this week. My wife said, you're not wearing your brace. I said, I don't need to. Why? I didn't walk my way out of it. Now you missed it. No, I was crippled, but I made up my mind that I'm not going to allow my problem to prevent me from my success. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do what I got to do. If I got to hobble through the services, I'm going to hobble, because we are going to have revival no matter. Look at your neighbor and say amen. Now, I know some of you, because you're going to say, well, that just happens, and people do, you do this, and, yep, then I had to have heart surgery, right? Look at all that mess. It's just happening to me. I could name stuff. There was nights I told the pastor that for weeks I would get up, because of this mess up here, service, church, I was getting 4 hours a night at a max. When a man my age wakes up at 2:07, why? You know what I mean? So it's like, well, let me get up, let me pray. Why? Because we're getting attacked, right? Now, real simple message today. In the Bible, there was a wedding feast. I always like that scripture because it shows Jesus likes to party. Yes, that one is so. The weddings took 7 days. All of us guys are thankful that that's not the way it is any longer. But for 7 days, they feasted, they danced. And watch this, y'all. Jesus was invited, which means he didn't mind dancing. You know, you don't invite some odd duck to your marriage. It's like, I'm going to invite him now. He's going to mess everything up. And so Jesus was invited, which means the people at the wedding liked the fact that he was going to be there. My daughter married a guy that, well, he's okay now, but, you know, I do stuff, and I don't care if people likes it or not. People, I always walk to my own drum. In fact, Lloyd Squires, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Thinking." He went, "That's a deep subject." And he said, "Man, that's a deep, dark hole right there. You can get lost in your brain." I said, "I've been lost." And so when my daughter got married to this dude, to prank him, I told all the best men and all them dudes that line up, I said, "Everybody take a gun." And they were all freaking out. "Brother Paul, we can't do it." I said, "Well, then bring up a play gun." And so when Pastor Mark Hughes said, "Is there anything that we need to," we had this all planned, "is there anything we need to ask the Lord for a new beginning?" He said, "The people need a new beginning." I said, "Well, Pastor," and I'm standing there giving her away. I said, "Pastor, I have to have a new beginning," because, and I pulled out this gun, laid it down. And then I said, "What about all y'all?" Well, they just started laying these play guns and knives and everything. I said, "We wasn't for sure we was going to pull off a wedding or not, but we was going to pull off something." And my daughter was so embarrassed. It was the whole purpose. She was just like, "Oh, my Lord, Daddy." Because she done told me 25 times, "Daddy, don't mess this up." And I went, "I'm not." And obviously everybody there was like, because the other side didn't know me at all. I hadn't met none of them, and they done got scared. They done got their hand down in their purses. They probably had real ones, you know. It was like, "Oh, this white man, we might have a war right here." And so when you go to a wedding, Jesus, you know the story, there came a point where the servants were pouring wine, and it all runs out. And the report comes back, "They have no wine. We have no wine." And you know how Mary goes to Jesus and then tells him, "Hey, they don't have any wine." And Jesus basically, in redneck English, was like, "That ain't my problem. It ain't my wedding. I'm not the master of ceremonies." And she said to the servants, now watch, I know you've heard it, but I want to explain it. Whatever he says, in other words, I don't have a clue what he's about to do. He don't even have a clue what he's about to do. He's never been in this situation before. But whatever he says, now she's talking to the servants, do it. Really simple. Just do it. Now the servants can either say okay or no. Let me say that again. The servants can go okay, or the servants can go, "He hasn't got anything to do with the feast. He's not getting married. He's not the master of ceremonies." So the servants have to make up their mind. Here's why. The servants were the ones that did the serving, and it was the servants that saw the wine being drained, and it was the servants that went to the master ceremony and said, "That's the last of it." And the master of ceremonies were going, "What do you mean? What's this? You should have prepared for a crowd. It was your responsibility to prepare for the crowd. And now we have no wine." Jesus turns to them and says, "Well, just go fill up those jugs with water." Now, I'm just going to ask y'all, how many of y'all would do that? Let's get it up right here in Springfield. How many of y'all would go, "Oh, sure, fine. We're just going to go and fill jugs up with water and looked like a fool. Hello? This is preaching. You know, it's easy to preach it from the Bible and people go, well, they, but then when you got to do it, it's like, go fill that jug up with water. The servant has to stop thinking, like this ain't going to work, and start reacting to, I either believe that everything he says will work, or I have to believe that nothing he says will work. It's better for me to believe and just do what I'm told to do, because somewhere he's got some kind of power that he's got to be somehow making some wine. Somebody holler amen. Shake your neighbor's head and say amen. And so, I don't know how many servants there were. I know that the water pots, they were on the corner of the houses. They held 150 gallons of water. They were all on the house corners. Now, can you imagine walking around there with this jug and going, where y'all going? Get some water. Well, we don't need water. We need wine. I know. Well, why are you going to get water? Because what he said, do. Well, we need wine. My responsibility is getting water. His responsibility is change it to wine. Oh, you've missed it. My responsibility is to do what I'm told. His responsibility is to make it happen. As long as I just do what I'm supposed to do, God's got something great and marvelous going to happen to me and for me in a revival. Somebody holler amen. I'm almost finished, see? Because we little human beings, we don't mind doing it if we know the exact outcome. Boy, if we know the outcome is a fact. But when we have to do the unexplainable, the almost insignificant, when we have to do things that's beyond our level of comprehension, man, that's a struggle. That's a struggle. That's a struggle because the brain goes, you need to go over there and look in that water pot and see wine. I just have it in my mind that those servants were over there dipping that stuff, pouring it. See, they saw water. They saw water. They just kept on dipping anyway. They saw water. They didn't see what they needed. They saw water. So some of them could have said, hey, we ain't getting wine out of here. He's crazy. Somewhere somebody said, don't worry about wine. Just worry about water. He said, fill it up. We're going to keep going back and forth. See, they didn't fill up 150 gallons in one trip. They had to keep going back and forth and back and forth and pouring water, getting water, pouring water, until that water pot was full. And then Jesus said, now you can get the wine out of it. I know that sometimes revival, it seems like we're doing stuff over and over and over and over. The reason we're doing it over and over and over is because we got to get some wine. We've got to get the wine out of it. We've got to see the wine. Look at your neighbor and say, do you want the wine? You can be seated. I'm sorry I woke some of you up. That's just the question. Do you want the wine? Here's another thing. Can you produce what you want? If you can, do it. Produce it. We don't have a problem with that. So what do you mean, Brother Paul? Let's just say you got a big old migraine, one of them big old migraine things. I had one of them when, I've never had a migraine. And when that COVID thing hit me and I was in the hospital all them days and almost died and all that stuff, I don't know what all that stuff was that's forcing into me. I don't even know they knew. But I was taking 26 pills every 4 hours. I was the guinea pig. I don't even know what it was. It was just they'd come in and have these, take this, and I'm just, you know, okay. And then one night, it was on a Sunday, and 3 o'clock on Sunday, Saturday night, I came up out of a semi-sleep, straight up in the bed, grabbed my head, and started screaming because it was hurting so bad. And the nurse came running in there and said, "What is it?" And I said, "My head feels like it's blowing up." And so they realized, you know, how them hospitals are. They're going to give you the least invasive thing first. Well, they'll give you a Tylenol. That's so stupid. And then they went, "Well, maybe we can give you an ibuprofen." I'm an ex-drug dealer. I'm telling them, I need 5 cc's of morphine. I can tell you what I need, okay? I didn't go to school for it. I'm tested. I'm tried. Amen. And that was kind of funny. There's a guy in 206 needs 5 cc's. He's got track marks on his arm worse than the Union Pacific. And so they came in, they gave me that little Tylenol. And of course, you got to take it. And I'm taking, my head is hurting. It feels like it's about to fall off. I never felt anything like that. And finally, they took the ibuprofen. Well, then they're going to come in there, and I am almost in screaming in pain. It's one of them deals. And they said, "Well, maybe we can give you some Tylenol 3. But we've got to wait because we've given him ibuprofen." And I looked at the lady. I said, "My God, why in the world did you give me this junk? Now I got to wait." So sure enough, wound up putting hot presses on my head. And that was at 3 o'clock. They finally got under control 24 hours later. I was throwing up. And then they got under control. Well, the next Sunday, 3 o'clock, boom. Same thing, exactly the same thing. Now, you got to realize I'm not really coherent. I'm kind of in that COVID fog, you know, and all I know is, and here that lady comes in and says, "Well, he's got that migraine again. Well, somebody go get some Tylenol." And I just grabbed her and I said, "I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't you dare come up in here with ibuprofen or Tylenol, Tylenol 3. Whatever you bring me better be in the needle." And so they don't like doing that. They said, "We got to have, quote, doctor's approval." And I said, "Wake his hide up. I don't care." Well, they finally did, and they come in and put that hot pack on me and the towels and all that. That's 3 o'clock. That's the second Sunday. And third Sunday, 3 o'clock, same exact thing. My wife comes in. She says, "Gordon, the devil's trying to kill you. He's been trying to kill you for years." I know. See, I'm the old kind of preacher where a guy brought a gun to church to shoot me. Walked down the aisle. I'm going to tell you kids something. Y'all don't know about church. Y'all know what's going on up here, but you don't know what we're fighting. And right when I made a statement of the enemy will send something that you know to destroy you, the back door swung open, and the man started walking down the aisle. He was in a bomber jacket, black glasses, had a hat on, and he got about right there, and the Holy Ghost said, "He's going to shoot you." And his right hand was in the pocket. And I said, "Sir, if you take one more step, an angel of God's going to drive a sword down through your head, and I'll have to lay you down to let you die." And he stopped. It was the pastor's daddy somebody you know will come. And here's what he said. He was drunk. He said, all I know is the voices told me go kill the man of truth. Go kill the man of truth. Sometimes you got to make up your mind, do I want the wine? And if I want it, I'm going to have to do something for it. I can't just expect him to give me. I've got to say, I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to do the... I'm willing to be mocked and laughed and whatever, but I just need the wine. I need the wine. I don't care what other people say. I need that wine. I need that miracle. I don't care what other people say. I've got to have that miracle. Somebody holler yes. I got to have that miracle. I don't care. And so the servant says, the question is, servant, do you want the wine? I'm asking this church, do you want the wine? See, we come in and we start. Let me back up. I had a lady that was dying. Cancer. Pastor, I may have told you all this, but it's so funny to me. Not funny, but it kind of is. We're having a move of God. Powerful. And I noticed this chick ain't never in the altar. And after service, I'm over here. I was a lot younger, so I sweated down. And pastor comes over there and talks to her. And then he comes like his brother, Poe. Yes, she needs prayer. And I prayed for people for an hour. I went, oh, okay. Well, me, I started to stand up. And the Lord said, no. And I sat back down, looked at the pastor, and said, no. And, it, you know, pastors, man, it's like, huh? That's the same church where I told them for 3 nights, I read a text and told them, I ain't preaching. Closed it and told the preacher, let's go eat. And he went, well, go eat. I said, yeah, I ain't preaching. They ain't praying. I ain't preaching. And I walked out. They thought, they sat there about 35, 40 minutes. They thought I was going to come back. I was at Chili's. I was eating a hamburger when the pastor's wife came in. She said, you're not coming back? I said, no, I'm about finished with my hamburger. And so he said, Brother Poe, she's got cancer. She's dying. I said, oh. Lord told me not to pray for her. Well, he got right here and he said, Brother Poe, this is what we do. And I went, not today. Because the Lord told me no, and I ain't moving. I said, I ain't going to go eat. I'm going to sit right here until I feel a release because I might stand up, and the Lord's going, I told you. And then y'all be burying my hide. And so he went over and told her. He said, "He, you know how pastors do. Well, right now, Brother Poe's cramping, and he's so tired. And she's just looking at me like, next night, same thing. She walks up over here. He comes. He says, Brother Poe, the lady has two boys. The doctors have already told us to prepare to have them put in a foster's home. We've already made arrangements at the funeral home. He's telling me a sympathy story. And I went, okay. Started to stand up. The Lord said, no. I said, no. No. And he literally said, Brother Poe, you can't be that heartless. They told me you're a cold-blooded, but my God. And I said, no, I ain't got anything to do with it, man. The Lord told me to, he said, I don't know if the Lord told you that. I might just be you. And I said, are you questioning me if I speak from the Lord or not? He said, oh, no, never mind. He said, okay, what do I tell her? I said, I don't care. About that time, the Lord said, tell her this. She's not too good to be in the altar. She wants it in private. I want it in public. In other words, she didn't want to come down here and get prayer. She wanted me to take her back to the prayer room one-on-one, lay hands on her, and God heal her. And the Lord was saying, that's not the way I work. In other words, That's the way she worked. And the Lord was saying, if I work the way she wants to work, that makes her God. And I'm going to work the way I... Sometimes we just got to realize God is just not going to do it the way we want it done. He's going to do it to where he gets the... He's going to get the glory, and he's going to get the honor, and he's going to get the witness. It's up to you. Do you want that wine? If you want it, you've got to go get it. No matter what you've got to do, you've just got to go get that wine. You can be seated for a minute. You got to look at your neighbor and say, do you want the wine? Do you want that wine? That's the simple question. Yes or no? It's not hard. Well, Brother Poe, what happens if... No, wait a minute. Now, see, you done got you back in it. Because them servants are just going back and forth, sister, and they know they're getting water. They know they're dipping it. They see it. But what they were saying was, I don't care what I'm dipping. I care what I'm going to be serving. Oh, you missed it. I don't care how much I've got to worship, shout, dance, or what I've got to do. I care that in 24 hours, I'm going to have an answer. I care that I'm about to get my healing. I care that I'm about to get my deliverance. I care that I'm about to get my freedom. I care that my children are coming to church. I care that my husband is coming to church. I care that my grandparents are coming to church. I want the wine. I want that wine. Come on, clap your hands. Hallelujah. I want that wine. Woo, Jesus. I just want wine. I don't care how much water I got to dip. As soon as the dipping's over, it's serving time. And when I start serving that wine, when I start pouring it out, when I bring it to everybody on the pew, when I bring it to everybody in the church, it's going to be the wine. It's going. I wish somebody would just step out in that aisle and do what you feel like doing right now. It's wine time. It's time to get that. Do you want the wine? If you want the wine, you gotta go for it. Do you want it? Do you want it? Then whatever he says, do it. Whatever you feel like doing, do it right now. My God, it's time for the wine. Come on, if you feel like praying for somebody, grab a hold of them and tell them, come on, come on, come on. It's wine. There's wine. I'm dipping water. Don't care, don't care, don't care. I don't care. I'm going for the wine. Now, I'm interrupting you. How many of you individually really need something from the Lord? I'm not talking about, I'm talking about you've got something. You need change. You need water changed to wine. How many of you are that way? Now, maybe not everybody's that way. I understand that. But how many of you need something that's this way? Turn to this way. How many of you? Raise your hand. That's a lot. Then why are some of you just watching to see everybody else pour water?
This lady done got out 5 minutes ago and ran the aisles, and some of you are looking like, what's she running for? I know she's toting water right now, but she's about to get into the wine part. But she's about to get in the wine. If some of you would just do what the Lord tells you to do, my God, there would be miracles everywhere. Why? Because it's wine time. It's wine. Come on, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it, that's it. Whatever you feel like doing, do it right now. Whatever he says do, do it right now. If you feel like shouting, then scream. If you feel like leaping, leap. If you feel like laying hands on somebody, get that wine. Get that wine. Get that wine. That's it, that's it. That's it, that's it. That's it, that's it. That's it, that's it. Turn around and pray for him, brother. Turn around and pray for him. My God, we've got to have some wine. We've got to have some answers. We've been in a war up here. We've been in a war, and it feels like sometimes the devil is making advances. Well, guess what? There's coming a day, there's coming an hour, there's coming a minute, and such is now, where there's going to be wine. There's going to be wine. There's going to be what? That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Come on. Let the Holy Ghost speak. Let that Holy Ghost speak. I'm getting wine. I'm tasting Jesus' wine. I'm tasting wine. Come on, that's it, pray. Come on, that's it, pray. Come on, that's it, pray. Come on, that's it. Get that wine. I'm serving water, but it's about to change. I'm dipping water, but it's about to change. I see water, but you're about to see wine. Just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. That's it. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't think. Just keep on doing what he said. If you feel like you need to do something, quit worrying about it. Just do what you feel like you need to do. That's probably him saying, do it and I'll honor. Do it and I'll give you wine. Come on, pray ye one for another. Do it and somebody's gonna get wine. Do it and somebody is gonna get a healing. Do it and somebody is gonna get a deliverance. Do it and somebody is gonna taste freedom. My God, clap your hand if you need to. Scream if you need to. The main thing is I am getting wine. I am getting wine. I'm tired of just, oh, it's all over the place. Holy Ghost, that's it, that's it. That's it, young people. Let it go, let it go. Learn. Learn what's going on right here. Just let the Spirit go. Just let the Holy Ghost go. Just let God minister. I want this wine. Yeah, 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 yeah. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. I'm going to help you dip water. I'm helping you dip water. But honey, it's about to turn into wine. I know it sounds good. I know you're going through hell. But guess what? There's fixing to be a season where it's going to be the best wine you've ever seen in your life. That's it. Find somebody. Find somebody. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come out of my dilemma. I'm coming out of my dilemma. I'm coming out of my problem. I'm coming out of this situation. Why? Because I know there's a promise of wine. Hallelujah. 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 You're the healer, Jesus. You're the comforter, Jesus. You're the way maker, Jesus. You're everything I need from A to Z. Come on, Jesus. Come on, voice over. Lay hands on somebody and pray all across this building again. My God, Springfield, we need the wine. Come on, keep having faith. Keep singing. Keep playing. Keep running. Keep clapping your hands, because somebody today is going to taste that wine.